Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity of coming together. I pray, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will minister to each and every one of us right here and right now. Lord, no matter what the week has been, Lord, we pray that we would just be open and yielding to your work in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen, amen. Kids, you want to come down front. I don't have a big chat for you today because I've done some lot of research and searching some stuff. And instead, how would you guys like to hear some kids telling the Christmas story? Would you like to hear that? I found a new one. I haven't shown this one to anyone before, but we're going to put it on the DVD so you can sit there. It's quite cool, and there's going to be some questions afterwards, okay? So pay attention, and I'm going to come back and give you some questions. All right, here we go. All right, kids, you ready for some questions?
Yes.
Okay, on the count of three, we're going to practice putting your hand up because you're not just going to call them out. On the count of three, throw your hands up. One, two, three. Oh, who's quick? All right, let's try that again. Ready? One, two, three. Oh, wow, very quick. Okay, here you go. Ready? First question. Mary loved God and what? Yes.
She loved Jesus.
Loved Jesus and what? Yes, and what? And she loved cleaning. Didn't you see that? I bet she was cleaning. Loved Jesus and cleaning. Yeah. All right, the next one is Joseph got a donkey. What was the donkey?
The donkey was a big carty thing.
A big carty thing. Yeah, very good, very good. All right, now the shepherds were out in the field. What were they doing?
Roasting marshmallows,
like all shepherds do, don't they? Very good. Now, what sort of what hats did the shepherds wear? You're not sure? A farming hat? A little bit more information on farming hat. I'm thinking something in Indians. It was a cowboy hat. Did everyone pick that? Shepherds were wearing cowboy hats. Interesting. All right. Now, when the baby Jesus was born, there was a couple of guys that were wearing red capes. What was on the back of their capes?
Like these cross thingy.
A cross thingy?
A cross crown.
A crown was on their heads? On the back of the cape was a letter. Yes. A W. What does W stand for, you reckon?
Wise.
Wise. Very good. So they were the three wise men. One of them rode a peculiar sort of animal. What was it? Three letters.
Cat.
Cow. No, no, not cow, no. Type of bike. Type of bike. BMX. Yes, very good. BMX. Yes. Oh, sorry. Was that the 80s question? All right, BMX bike. So that was pretty cool. All right. Yeah, yeah. What sort of presents did they bring? Toy giraffe, yes.
And a car,
yes. They were pretty cool presents.
Skateboard.
And a skateboard, very good. Excellent work. Good attention paying, excellent. All right, at that night, they threw
a big party,
and it was the best night
ever.
How cool is that? Isn't that the message of Jesus' birth? It's the best night ever. Remember that, okay? Christmas is the best night ever.
Ever.
And so Christmas Day, make sure you have lots of fun, enjoy, but remember, it's the best night ever because of
ever.
Jesus. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? Three simple lines. I think they're very powerful for us to get our head around at this time of the year. As you see before me, I've got some old games. Who here loves playing games?
Me.
Yep, I love playing games. When this one came out, Sequence, that was a great rage inside our family. We used to play that all the time. We played it so much that Michaela and Jamie hated it. Everyone played games like that? Yep. I don't know whether it was because Cynthia and I used to whoop their butts all the time and they just didn't like the annihilation of it. I don't know. on pastor's retreats, we have some great times on pastor's retreats, but one of the best pastor's retreat about 3 years ago, we played this game called Exploding Kittens. Anyone played Exploding Kittens? Yeah, a great game. Really lots of fun. If you're a dog person, really good. If you're a cat person, yeah, not so good. But a great game, fun, strategy, working things out. And at the pastor's retreat, you think pastors would be full of love, grace, mercy and acceptance? One of the rules that we brought back to our family was he who wins the last hand does not win the next. And so you would be picked on. And trust me, in this game, you can be picked on. Everyone can nail you from all over the card table. This one, backgammon. Anyone played backgammon? Who remembers backgammon? A lot of fun with backgammon. We got a Scottish neighbour and he's learning how to play it. And I'm trying to teach him that as part of backgammon, one of the strategies is to be mean and nasty and land on other people. And he's going, oh, that's not a good way to play it. I said, yeah, but you win. And he said, but it's a bad way to win. not for me. You leave your man open, I'm going to jump on him if I get any chance. It might take me 10 minutes to figure out how to do it, but I'll get there. What about Connect Four? Anyone remember Connect Four? Yeah? Yeah, Connect Four. You guys like Connect Four? You guys want to play this while I'm preaching?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We got a card game with Connect
Four. Card game with Connect Four. Ah, okay. Connect Four was one of my favourite games when I was a youth pastor. Youth pastor, man, what a job. Andrew, you got the best job in the world, man. Best job in the world. As a youth pastor, we used to do surf safaris. Lots and lots of surf safaris. And one of the guys in our church just went, Donnie, if you can do me a favour, whenever you turn up to church, take the surfboards and everything off the car. Because that really looks like you've just been down the beach having fun. I said, no, I've been down working with young people. And he goes, no, to me it looks like you're just having fun. But youth pastoring was the greatest thing out. One of the schools that I used to work in, one of the churches, we worked in seven different schools with a chaplaincy program and youth worker roles. And one of the schools I went into, we worked with 40 kids. I called them my 40 angels. The teachers didn't call them that, but I called them my 40 angels. And one of the things I used to do was, depending on the child, we'd play Connect Four, you know, or this game, chess. I'll get to that one in a minute. Connect Four was really cool. I'd go into the library and I'd have my child with me. In the library was a good space because the librarian was there, other kids were there. Donnie's not going to get in trouble for doing anything silly, okay? So we're in the open with everybody. We'd play Connect Four. And kids really pay attention when they're trying to beat you. And I don't know, you might think, oh, that's really mean, Donnie. But when I play these games with kids, I don't let them beat me. The idea is for them not to beat me. The idea is for them to want to beat me. And so they turn up and wanting to beat me. Connect Four was so much fun because the kids would concentrate. I'll give you an example. A grade five girl was having issues in her class. The teacher was just out of her mind. How do I do it this? We got her talking by playing Connect Four. She's trying to beat me playing Connect Four, and I'm chatting to her and saying, so how's things at home? Yeah, really good. My uncle's up from Newcastle. Oh, okay, cool. What's your uncle do? He plays football. And I said, oh, cool, he plays football. Who does he play football for? The Bandidos. The Bandidos? No, the Newcastle team's called the Knights. No, and he plays for the Bandidos. Does your uncle ride a motorbike? Yes, he does. Does he have a leather jacket with his football team on the back? Yes, he does. Ah, how come he's not playing football at the moment? His football team doesn't like him at the moment and he's hiding from them. Oh, so how's things going at home? And she's trying to beat me play Connect Four. The teacher asked her what was going on. Got nothing out of her. Opened up and chatted about it. Obviously, if kids could play that and still block me, we'd go over to chess. Chess was a little bit more intricate. How many people know how to play chess? How many people love chess? Ooh, okay. You love chess? Awesome. We'll have to have a game one day, hey? You reckon you could beat me? I reckon you could. I'm not very good at the moment. What grade are you in? 3. And you know how to play chess already.
Yes.
Wow. I learned to play chess in grade 4. You want to know how I learned to play chess in grade 4? I had a teacher. His name was Marty Scanlon. He had a brother who played for Valleys football. No, Marty Scanlon was the guy who played for football. Yeah. Marty Scanlon was his brother. He was Mr. Scanlon. He had a weird way of doing discipline. We had 3 options of discipline. 1, we could get the meter rule whacked across our backside. Remember those days, guys? Remember those days? You know one of the things with that, just as a side issue, not one girl ever got smacked. What's the go with that? Equal rights, I say. Anyway, not that I ever got smacked. Anyway, Mr. Scanlon had a good drive on my backside. So hit with the meter rule. The other one was time in at lunchtime to write out lines. I don't know what that achieved. Have you seen my writing? It's no good. So maybe it's because I was writing so fast, writing lines, that I've got messy. Maybe it's Mr. Scanlon's fault, my writing out lines. So you stay in at lunchtime, write out lines, or you stayed in at lunchtime and learned how to play chess. He taught us how to play chess as a form of discipline. And so, whack on the backside, yeah, no, that wasn't much fun. Writing out lines, yeah, I'm over that in grade 4. Okay, I learned how to play chess. So Mr. Scanlon taught me how to play chess, and there was always a group of guys. Again, no girls. What's going on with that? Guys learning how to play chess. And so I learned how to play chess. And I went home and I taught my 2 younger brothers to play chess. And I tried to teach my dad how to play chess, but my dad was a checkers man. How many people play checkers? Yeah. He loved checkers. He would play checkers with you till whenever. But chess didn't get it. Now, he would whoop me all the time at checkers. And I go, want a game of chess? No, I don't like that. Stupid game. And so I taught my brothers how to play it. One day, my brother, Brian, and I got into a big fight. Guess what it was over? A game of chess. My dad comes into the room, separates us both. We were going for it, hitting each other. Separates us and says to us, what's going on? And Brian goes, Donnie cheated. And Dad goes, what were you playing? And Brian goes, chess. And Dad goes, Donnie doesn't need to cheat at chess. If it had been checkers, yes, he would have cheated. Stop it. And I was off the hook. So chess was a great game. But you know what I like about chess? It's all the strategy. It's all the thinking about it. It's like luring your friend into your opposition, your enemy, into a false sense of security. How many people know checkmate in 3 moves? I'm not playing you. Others, hey, 3 moves. You know, it's a very, very simple move. In grade 12, I went into a chess tournament. I was training for rugby league down on the field, and one of the guys came running down and said, Donnie, you got to be back. It's your game for chess. Footballer, chess. Anyway, so I ran up to the chess tournament and I played this little guy called Paul. And I'm buzzing and I'm ready to play this game of chess, showing this egghead. He was very good at physics. I was going to whoop his butt at chess. And I was paying so much attention. The adrenaline was pumping from practicing football. And he beat me in 3 moves. My reign as a chess player was over, just like that. And so I proved to him that football players can't play chess. Games. I love games. Outwit, outplay, outsmart. Guys, if you want to come and play Connect Four, you can do that. I'll let you play. You can take it down on the carpet there. The good thing with games is you need to have a plan. You need to have a strategy. You need to know where you want to go, especially with this game. It's no good just moving parts all over the place and seeing if it makes a beautiful pattern and fluking a win. Although I must admit, many a times I've played chess, I have fluked the win. But it's the idea of strategies, letting them know something's happening over here when in fact you're coming over here and you're going to get their king and their queen. Very important to outwit, outplay, have a strategy. In life, sometimes we play life as a game, don't we? We sometimes do not see what the enemy is up to. we go on mildly, just moving parts all over the place. We're busy, so the adrenaline's pumping. We're busy because this is our strategy and we're not paying attention to what's going on around us. We get so focused on what's right in front of us that we miss what's right in front of us. Does that make sense? When you play a game, you can see that, can't you? And when you get beat in a game of chess, you go, oh, how did I not see that? I wonder how many times through life we don't see what God is doing. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to go right back to the very beginning before we come through into this Christmas story. Genesis chapter 2. I just want to highlight a couple of parts here. Do you believe God has a plan? Yes? A couple of you. Cool. Hopefully by the end of today you'll believe God has a plan. He has a love for us that is amazing. He sees us as his children and he wants to be connected with us. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read this. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden. And there he put man as he had formed him. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden where the tree of life was, there was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge and the tree of good and evil. God made a garden and he planted stuff in the garden. All sorts of food that was good to eat. That's good, isn't it? But in amongst this plan, he planted two trees. The tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of eternal life. That shows a plan, doesn't it? Shows a strategy. Shows a way forward. And when God put man in there, he came along. And in verse 15 and 17, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from the tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." So the man was able to eat the fruit of what tree? Every tree. Mangoes, apples, nectarines, all sorts of trees. God said, "Eat, it is good for you. Eat. Good food." And he said, one thing you can't do is eat from one tree. One thing. Only one thing. I wonder at sometimes when we walk through life now, and we're all different ages here today, that when we go through life today, whether we actually act like little kids in grade four. I don't know about you, but grade four was one of those years where I learnt lots. Lots. I learnt that, when you're driving a car and the car comes to a halt and you go up and you touch the exhaust is hot. And so you don't touch exhausts. I learnt that, fires are hot. I learnt that wet paint is actually wet paint and you get paint all over your hands. I seem to go and do all these things. And so if I was in the Garden of Eden with Adam, I reckon Eve would have had no chance of eating the fruit of the knowledge of tree and evil first. I would have got there. I would have beat her to it. I wouldn't have needed the snake to tempt me. I would have had it in myself to go and do it. God, you said I couldn't do what? Cool. As soon as he turned his back, I'd go and do it, I reckon. Go and get it. I don't know if you're like me, but here was the one thing they couldn't do. And what ends up happening? In verse 19. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground. Hold on a sec. Then we find out that man and woman had a fall. The serpent came. We won't go into who said what and all that sort of stuff, but they fell and they were in trouble. And so we later come along that there is a curse. So the Lord God, verse 14 in chapter 3, the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed above you all livestock and wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put an enmity between you and the woman." That's a passage that Cynthia has taken hold of fully. Cynthia hates snakes. She can't look at a picture of a snake, let alone hold a real one. So there's a real enmity between Cynthia and snakes. Jamie's gone on to lizards, but it's still the same sort of family. But it says this, "Between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, but he will come and he will crush your head. This is not a good word to the snake, is it? The serpent is in big trouble. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe and painful labour you will have when you give birth to children. But you will desire your husband even more, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and the fruit from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. And though painful is your toil, you will eat the food from it all the days of your life. And then there was thistles, and briars and thorns and Brussels sprouts came upon the earth. And it says you will sweat from the brow and you will eat the food, and from the dust you have come and the dust you will go. God had a plan. Man and woman went straight into that plan. But isn't that amazing? In the third chapter of Genesis, you will have a son and he will come and he'll crush the serpent's head. We're already looking to Christmas time. We're already looking to Easter. We're already looking to the enemy's plan being defeated. I reckon the enemy's sitting there going, this is great, I've got this one. But I think there was something unexpected going on here that the devil didn't even see coming. I've got a clip that I want to play to you. Some of you have seen it before. If you have, just enjoy it. It's from New Zealand, so for all my Kiwis here in the house, enjoy it. It's very well put together. It's called The Unexpected Christmas. And listen to the message. Don't just go for the cutesy stuff, but listen to the message. It's got a good one. Thank you very much. We have an amazing story, don't we? So many things that are unexpected. So many things that people didn't see. You know what? You and I are incredibly complex. Incredibly complex. There's so much about you and I that so detailed. Jamie, can you come up here for a sec? I'm just going to get Jamie as an example to show how complex that we all are. All right. Jamie, what sort of car do you drive?
Corolla.
A Toyota Corolla, a 1997 Toyota Corolla. Corolla's a good car, amen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you drive a Corolla when you could have a Fiat?
Can't afford it.
You can't afford a Fiat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, right before your eyes, I'm going to prove to Jamie that she has a Fiat right here and right now. But more than that, I'm going to prove to all of you here that you all have Fiats. How many people want to go home with a Fiat? No one. Okay, you don't like Fiats. Okay, well, Andrew, you can have everybody else's Fiats. Gee, what happened to Fiat? They were a good car once upon a time. That K9 Fiat was unreal. Okay, Jamie, how are you feeling?
Worried.
Worried. How are you feeling today? On the count of three. One, two, three. I want you to say how you're feeling. One, two, three. All different. Good. Okay. Headache. Worried. Maybe if you were up here, you'd be worried. But we all have feelings. No matter where you're at, we all have feelings. All of us. I have feelings as I preach, as I get up in front of you. I have intentions today as I preach. Part of my intentions is that I don't bore you to sleep. Part of my intentions is that on a beautiful day like today, I'm not wasting your time. Part of my intentions is that I'm listening to God all week, and when I come before you today, I actually give you something from God and not just from myself. I have intentions. Jamie is listening and so are you, and so you don't have intentions, you have inferences. You may have heard me speak many a times and switch off, and so you will be inferring what I'm saying. You will be listening and putting it and going, oh, that's what he means. Because I don't get the chance to sit down with you and go, now what did you think I said? I will never know whether you're catching my intentions but running off on your inferences. Does that make sense? This is the downfall of preaching, that I don't get to download with each of you to find out if you get exactly what I'm intending to say. I have attitudes. I came in here this morning with my own attitudes. Some of those attitudes are good, some of them are stinky, but they are my attitudes. Jamie helped build one of those attitudes this morning for me. And Jamie herself has attitudes. As right now, you could see the attitude coming up inside her towards me. So that's a F-I-A, last one, thoughts. Thoughts. We all have our own thoughts. You're thinking things. Some of you are thinking right now, gee, you're mean to your daughter. Jamie's thinking, gee, you're mean to me.
I leave in 6 months, I don't have to deal with you.
I leave in 3 weeks for 6 months. You don't have to deal with me, correct. Ladies and gentlemen, each of us have a fiat. But that fiat is so different in each and every one of you. All of your feelings are different. All of what you're understanding from this sermon is different. One of the amazing things as a preacher is so many people come up to me and go, I really enjoyed that point. And sometimes if I'm bold enough, I'll say, what point? And people will say stuff to me and I'll go, what the hell? Who did I say that? But you hear stuff, and sometimes that's the Holy Spirit bringing about those inferences that he needs you to hear, and he cuts me out of the picture. But we all have our same attitudes. You walked in here with your attitudes, your understandings, the stuff from this week, and your thoughts. And if we multiply that out like any good mathematician, 4 times 4 times 100 times 2 equals 32,000 different things going on in this place right now. And yet we're trying to be unified. We're trying to be on the same page. We're trying to see the same message that God's trying to bring across us. We're trying to be who God's called us to be. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you know? This week, how many people have got wet in the rain? Monday, what a great day Monday was. So wet. What about last night? Anyone get wet last night? Yeah. Yeah, you got wet last night. You were at Carol's or something, were you? No? No. At a picnic. Yeah, picnic. I'll give you a hint. Those thunderclouds rolling through, they're a hint. Something's coming. Yeah, yeah. We got wet last night. We've got a leadership dinner tonight, and Cynthia and I spent all day setting it all up and beautiful and everything, and we're looking at it and it says, thunderstorm. Yeah, it always misses us at Kiwana. It always hits Caloundra. We got hit last night, something chronic. We had flood everywhere. We're looking at that rain last night, and we're going, tragedy. Absolute tragedy. Absolute. All that work gone. Bringing everything back in. Rah, rah, rah. Louis, on the other hand, Louis, my 11-month-old Labrador, when he sees a thunderstorm coming, he has a totally different way of looking at it. He goes out into the middle of the thunderstorm and finds any puddle he can and, like a kid, just splashes in all the puddles. If you want to see a photo, I'll show you a photo. Last Sunday when I came home from church, it wasn't even raining. Oh, no, it did rain last Sunday morning. He was black-haired, he's a white Labrador, black-haired, black paws, and he had dug holes and played in the... He had a ball while we were at church. It rains, he goes, party time! I go, wash the dog time. What do you do when you go to the beach? Do you think, oh, look at that beautiful water, how safe is that? There's lifesavers on duty, I will be fine. Or do you go and say, there's a rip right there, I can see it. Anyone be able to spot a rip? James can, Chris can, the rest of you. Learn how to spot a rip. Swim between the flags. If you get stuck in a rip, what should you do? Swim parallel to the beach. Swim parallel. Don't swim against it. If you want to do anything, go with it. We'll be preaching about that in January. Stay tuned. How to save yourself at the beach. Some of you might go to the beach and go, sharks. Sharks. I don't worry about sharks when I go to the beach. I know they're there. They're there. They're out there. What do you see? You mightn't see them, but they're there. Druno, do you know about the 4-meter tiger living up the road at 204? He's been spotted 3 times in the last month. 4-meter tiger shark up that end of town. And the surfers have seen him a couple of times and they've reported him. And we got a phone call one day when I was on patrol from the Sunshine Coast Daily, and they said, a shark was reported a half an hour ago. What are you going to do about it? Half an hour ago? Nothing. He's gone. Wherever he was, I don't know where he is now. Sharks. You might go to the beach and think, oh, sharks. Or you might go to the beach thinking stingers. If you get a northerly blowing, a northwesterly blowing, guess what? Chances are the stingers will come in. Is that right, Druno? Okay. What do you know? What do you see? What do you hear? These are some of the things that come about of it. What about God's gifts? What do you know about God's gifts? What do you know about God's talents for you and for me? Some of us might look at it and go, wow, this is an opportunity. Some of you might be joining us in prayer for where we're at as a church, and instead of looking at the options of going, oh my goodness, we're going in a spiral, you might be thinking, no, this is an opportunity for us to rise and shine and be God's people in 2018. I had the pleasure on Friday to go to the breakup for the Christmas, for the coffee chaplaincy, and to hear some of the stories that come about from those guys going into the mental health ward. And had the opportunity going in this week myself. And some of the characters you meet inside the mental health ward are just amazing, absolutely amazing. When you stop and pray for 2018, what are you praying about? What are you thinking about for Kiwanis Life Church? I know some of you are worried about Donnie burning out because we're going from 4 staff back to 2 at this moment in stage, unless God opens some doors. That's one option that you could see, but we can see it in different ways. We can see other people rising up. As we've seen in the last 2 weeks, 4 people have offered to come and do little jobs in the office to take the pressure off Jamie, Vonnie and Angela. And we need more to step up and to do some more things in and through the office. If you're good at computers, come and talk to us. We've got a couple other options coming up for us. In 2018, I believe there is an option for us to see more prayer, to hear more prayer, and to know God answering those prayers. This week, as always, I get emails. How many people get emails during the week for work? I get about 40 to 60 a day. It depends. And some of those emails come through are requests for help. Some of them are from mission agencies wanting help and financing and more money because things happen. But one of the ones that came through was a lady who's the prison chaplain down on the Gold Coast in a female prison. And she said that one of the ladies that she's been working with over the last few months has become a Christian in jail. And she comes from Kiwanis. And on the 23rd of December, she's being released from prison. She said, I'm just emailing your church to see if it would be okay for us to give her your church's details so she could come to church on Christmas Day. I don't know about you, but I only know one way to answer that email. One way to answer that email. And so I said, yes, absolutely, of course, you can give that lady our details. I said, I don't know what we can do, but I certainly hope and pray that we will be able to do something. And then I went in, because a little bit of stuff I've done with some prison work and chaplains in prisons, I said, thank you very much for all the work you do. And I encouraged her on behalf of you and myself as a church. And straight away, I got another email back from her, and she said, I can't believe you got back to me. I can't believe you responded to my email. So I send out emails to a lot of churches in the area where our inmates are being released into, and many churches do not respond. Do not respond. And she said, and thank you for going the extra mile and encouraging me what I do. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you know? We need to go beyond ourselves, don't we? We need to see what's happening around us. One of my prayers all week is, Lord, open my eyes so I can see what's going on. Open my ears, open my heart, and may I be your hands and feet in and through this Christmas period, and in fact, through every period. God has a plan. God has a plan. Do you believe God has a plan? Yeah, a few more. Okay, let's go back to the Bible then. In Matthew chapter 2, if you want to open up there, Matthew chapter 2, we're going to pick out a couple of passages. It's verses 1 to 23. It's a brilliant chapter. If you get a chance to read it, do so. But I'm just going to highlight a couple of things in due to time. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, we read this. Verse 5, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So in the beginning of Matthew chapter 2, we know that the Magi are coming, the wise men are coming, they've seen something in the sky and they're on their way. And here is a prophetic word that something's going to happen. Number one prophetic word, God had a plan. He wrote it down, he got prophets to speak about it. Here's the first one. Let's go see if there's anything else coming up. In verse 14 and 15, we read this. And it says, get up, take your child and your mother and escape to the Egypt. Stay there until I tell you that Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. So he got up and he took the child and his mother, and during the night they left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I will call my son. Number two prophetic word, God has a plan. He's bringing it all together. Verse 17 says this, and then it was said that the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. The great slaying of the young children at that time. Again, another prophetic word from this time from Jeremiah was fulfilled. And at the very end of this chapter, verse 23, and it says this, and he went and lived in the town of Nazareth, so it was fulfilled what was said through the prophets that he would be called a Nazarene. A Nazarene. Now, how many of these things did Jesus have control over? None. He's a baby. He's a child. His father and his mother were listening. They were hearing, they were seeing, and they were doing what God had led them to do. And in and through one chapter, Matthew chapter 2, four prophetic words from the Old Testament were fulfilled. God has a plan. He has a strategy. Do we accept God's plan and strategy? Are we looking for it each and every day? This is not man's plan, but it is God's plan. We all have our own strategies and plans. We like playing the game, but walking with Jesus is not about playing the game. It's about humbling ourselves and acknowledging, yes, I will do what you've called me to do and be who you've called me to be. The wise men, we sang the song. Do you see the star shining bright? Did the wise men just come out one night and go, oh, look at that. Oh, my goodness, I haven't seen that before. And off they went. If you go into the wise men, their journey was weeks, months, some even say years in the making for that event to take place. The unexpected one, they said, we'll put something in the sky so that the wise men will see the plan laid out. And these wise men fulfilled that part of the plan that God had for all mankind. Were they looking for it? Yeah. They were waiting. They were expectant. They weren't just milling around busy and all of a sudden it hit them. They were expectant for it to take place. Let's bring it back down to the walk with Jesus. Disciples, when Jesus left at the ascension, what did he say to them? Do not leave this city until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So what did the disciples do? Jesus said, go and wait. What does wait mean? Does that mean go sit in a room and play chess, play games, wait for the Holy Spirit to come? If you go into that passage, the word wait means to be bound together, come together. And if you read that section, the disciples went and they met, they prayed, they worshipped, they were expectant for the Holy Spirit to come, and guess what? The Holy Spirit did come and changed their lives unexpectedly, but yet expectantly. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you know? The message of Jesus Christ is right before us. It's loud and it's clear. And it's for you and for you, me. I pray this prayer. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you will help us to see what you see. Father God, I pray that we will hear what you are saying. And Father God, I pray that we will know what you are teaching us, that we will all humble ourselves before you and be expectant to see you at work. Yes, Lord God, there are going to be times when our feelings, our inferences, our attitudes and our thoughts are going to be so way off base. We're going to have good days and bad days. We're going to get cranky. We're going to get excited. We're going to be passionate. We're going to be depressed. We're going to rise up with the good news and maybe get hit by some bad news. But in amongst it all, Lord God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will walk each day holding your hand and letting you be our strength. Not to rely on each other, but to encourage one another, yes. But to rely on you in faith, hope, and love to make a difference. Lord Jesus, today, I want to hold your hand and walk with you no matter what comes. Do I see what you see? Do I hear what you say? And do I know what you're saying? And I pray we do. In Jesus' name. Amen.